Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the extraordinary Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Thursday, September 7th, 2023, hour two of the show. Welcome back in. Glad to have you along. Powerful hour one. Going to want to clean up on this a little bit before we get to our next guest at quarter past the hour. Kira Sabin, our life coach, will be in. Looking forward to that. I want to finish up with this subject from hour one. Information that I am gathering from our sources, from my sources, that Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, and the Republicans have put it into works, into motion, a plan to impeach newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz within the next 2 weeks, before she's even heard a case, because they are threatened so much that they don't want the current maps overturned. And again, we can get into whether they're constitutional or not. I was there when they were drawn, working for a Republican. I believe that they are not constitutional. But put that aside, talking about this now impending impeachment to get rid of her because she had the audacity to say the truth, to give an opinion, saying that she believed the current maps are rigged, quote unquote. Republicans say she should recuse herself, and because she said she will not, they want to impeach her. And we have this great story from Vox.com in which it talks about the Minnesota Republican Party versus White from 2012, I believe it was. Let me look back here, make sure I'm accurate on that. 2002, pardon me. Republican Party of Minnesota versus White, 2002, in which a conservative candidate for Supreme Court Justice in Minnesota was passing around flyers that gave his opinion. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And conservative Antonin Scalia wrote this. He said, quote, "We have never allowed the government to prohibit candidates from communicating relevant information to voters during an election," unquote. And the majority, the conservative majority, voted to uphold that. And that case alone should allow Janet Protasiewicz to be free and clear. So the question for Republicans is in this state, do you disagree with former Justice Scalia? And each of us needs to call our state assembly people and tell them that if you vote for this impeachment, we're not going to vote for you. You can do it by calling 1-800-362-9472, 1-800-362-9472. They've been very patient. I want to get to them here. Joe and Madison, quickly, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
I'll make it quick because I know you've got slow on time. I just want to respond to a previous caller in your previous hour who gave us to understand that he just thought this was fine if the Democrats got burned because, gee, Trump got burned in an impeachment. Mm. It's really important to deal with facts, folks. It's really important to deal with facts. And you can look this up. Okay, two impeachments for Trump on the federal side. On the federal side, the standard for impeachment is high crimes and misdemeanors. It's very vague, intentionally. Mm-hmm. His first impeachment trial was for two counts, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. And understand that that was provoked by his actions when he was calling up Zelensky in Ukraine and saying, I hear you're going to be going on CNN for an interview. Why don't you just say that you guys are looking into Hunter Biden for some nasty, you think there might be some nasty stuff, even though there was nothing. Mm. And then maybe you'll get the weaponry that Congress had already appropriated to you. So again, that was two charges, abuse of power as president and obstruction of Congress. In his second impeachment, he was impeached over the issue of incitement of insurrection. Okay, both of these impeachments were on high crimes and misdemeanors. Wisconsin does not have the same standard of high crimes and misdemeanors. Within the Wisconsin state constitution, it says that a Supreme Court justice can be impeached on two ways, corruption, evidence of corruption or criminality while they are in office. Note that the while they are in office is listed there. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about somebody who's been in office, what, 3.5 weeks?
Something like
4
that,
weeks?
Yeah.
So, and where is the criminality? Where is the corruption? What exactly are they going to be presenting? And you have done a very good job of stating the fact that recusal is not evidence of criminality or corruption, or you would have plenty of judges, Supreme Court judges, who have not recused themselves, who should be up on charges. So it's really important that we deal in facts, people. And the federal side is not the same as the state side. And the state side is very specific of criminality or corruption while in office. She's been in office, a month? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious about what they're going to come up with that are going to be the examples. Thanks for everything you do. And I just wanted to add those thoughts.
Great call, Joe. Thanks for listening to Madison. Let's go quickly to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for holding. What say you?
Well, I said this to the devil's advocates yesterday afternoon. First of all, the most pathetic thing about all of this is doing the people's work? I don't think so. But, no, I agree totally with Scalia's ruling. Totally, 100%. But yesterday, I'm watching MSNBC, and it was making me sick to my stomach watching.
You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
This nonsense coming out of these people's mouths about finding a moderate Republican that'll stand up and say something in Wisconsin. And I brought up, where's Tommy Thompson on this? Where's Paul Ryan on this? Where are these people? And on the national level, when it comes to Trump, where's the Bush family?
Yeah.
Why doesn't former President Bush stand up and say something?
Fair points, Dick. Always appreciate your call. Thanks for listening. Going to check in with Pizza Box Mike after the break. Don't go anywhere. Kira Sabin, also Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. It is 15 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, Thursday, September 7th. Going to welcome in one of our colleagues here at Civic Media. It is host of Outside the Pizza Box every Friday from 7 to 8, right? Pizza Box Mike?
Yeah, pretty good. Man, thanks for paying attention.
Hey, of course, absolutely. But we have Kira Sabin we're going to go to in a minute, but I love hearing from you. I appreciate you holding through the break. What is your thought on this whole pending impeachment? What we're hearing now is it may happen within the next 2 weeks unless Wisconsinites rise up and call their state assembly people and tell them, look, you do this, I'm not voting for you in 2024. But we read this quote from former Justice Scalia. And even Scalia, a conservative, says, quote, we have never allowed the government to prohibit candidates from communicating relevant information to voters during an election, unquote. So what basis, Pizza Box Mike, does Voss and the Republicans have to impeach this justice?
Well, first of all, we found out that these Supreme Court justices can take all kinds of contributions and things and go on vacations
right.
for people that they may consider their cases in front of court. So the hypocrisy of all this, aside from not having a leg to stand on, I believe it was 2017 when Chief Justice Brauziegler and In Justice Bradley voted to not recuse themselves from groups or industries
sure.
that had invested in them in their election campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute hypocrisy. And the worst part about it is, no, Gary doesn't stand on the same ground as you do. He stands on the ground where the Republicans for the last 12 years of my life here have done nothing but attack the safety, the security of our ecosystem, of our economics, and of the public safety of the people that live here. So, Gary, you know, you keep running with that while the Armageddon that you believe in is on its way.
But you know what? I will say this. You know, Gary, the caller, I believe from Sussex. I mean, even a Republican like that, I mean, we found common ground in that he agreed that Republicans should not be impeaching Protasiewicz within the next 2 weeks, certainly. Now, look, I can have a difference of opinion with someone. I certainly don't believe that she should have to recuse herself. I have no problem. I'll respect someone who disagrees with that. But I think what's really interesting, Pizza Box, is that even a Republican like Gary from Sussex, even he is saying, look, no, we should not be impeaching this person until she does something you can impeach her for. And I think this is a huge political mistake for Robin Voss and the state Republicans if they move forward with this, because even a sensible, you know, Republican, a sensible conservative, or so I believe, like Gary or others, I don't know that they're going to go along with that in 2024 if their own party is doing goofy stuff like impeaching Protasiewicz.
I'll tell you what, if the Republicans go forward with it and they're successful in impeding justice, people like Gary and others in the state will continue to vote and support the Republican Party, even though they say that they agree with us on common ground. So that's why, you know, I've seen this many, many, many times.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
I would suggest
we'll see.
People go to the Capitol like I have been the last couple days, and you voice your opinion as loud as you'd like right in the middle of the rotunda about all this stuff. That works better than the phone call because they actually hear it.
Well, I still believe as a former legislative staffer, if you're getting calls, if you're getting calls from your own constituents who are saying they're not going to vote for your boss on something, I believe that has a dramatic effect just from past experience.
Well, and I hope you're right, Todd. I hope you're right that people that normally vote Republican have had enough of this and they'd rather be represented by real conservatives.
I hope so. But they can tune in on Fridays, tomorrow night between 7 and 8 and hear from you directly all night long, right? 7 to 8 outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Appreciate you calling, my friend, and have a great show tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks. Great show, buddy.
All right, thank you. Pizza Box Mike. Always great to hear from him. It is 19 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. And wow, if there was probably a good thing to turn the page a little bit. Well, we like to say pursuing the truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. And part of the fun is our friend Kira Sabin, who joins us every other week. She is the founder of RelationshipQuotient.com and is a love guru and also a life coach and all-around great person. My friend, our colleague, Kira Sabin, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I feel like I'm coming in after a pretty coming in hot. And usually I kind of come on here and talk about, like, let's talk about love or happiness, right, or positive psychology. And I'm bringing in some more, coming in hot today too.
And I think that's good.
What I think is not working and why from a non-political viewpoint.
Right. And I appreciate doing this, and we chatted or texted a little bit last night because we talked, especially the last half hour of the show yesterday, about, you know, and of course, my sister is one of your closest friends, and she has gotten us both to watch this great show on Apple called Ted Lasso, which, you know, I'm very late to the party. I'm in season 2. I believe you're in season 3. We're not going to spoil anything for anyone, but there is a great quote. My favorite quote so far from Ted Lasso is, "Be curious, not judgmental." And so I brought that up yesterday and said, you know, I think as the temperature in our country is so hot, we're all struggling, and shows like Ted Lasso just make you realize we all have stuff. It doesn't matter whether it's me. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a therapist type of person like you who's life coaching people. It doesn't matter what social economic class we're in, what color our skin is, if we have a faith or a religion, what that is. We all have something. And the fact that this world could turn and somehow it all works is kind of remarkable.
Oh, it's kind of, I mean, talking about what I do all day, which is, you know, dating and love and relationships, I'm blown away that we all get married every year, that there's, you know, thousands right, or millions of marriages in this country every year, knowing what I know, which makes me know that we're optimists.
Right.
Right. But I think that one of the best ways, and this is what I want to talk about today, is understanding we are all having a human experience, mm-hmm, which includes struggle, which includes failure, which includes mistakes, which includes loss and grief. And when we can see that everyone out there is, you know, you might have seen that quote, fighting their own battle or struggling. We don't really know what people are going through. Man, it's easier to be open to the changes, to be open to caring about other people, to be open to wanting to see not only ourselves thrive, but others thrive. And I really want to talk about why I think today we are not in that space in this mm-hmm. country right now. Why, you know, in a non-political way, sure. why what I see in the psychology or the emotions or our lack of coping mechanisms or things like that, like what's happening that has kind of turned maybe half of this country away from wanting to help other people.
Yeah. And I think the thing to me, Kira, is that we take all callers here, just like our friend Matt Flynn does. You know, I don't say, oh, if you're a certain party, I'm not going to take your call. As long as people keep it respectful, we'll take all calls. But I think that too often when we hear, oh, that person is from a different political party than I am, that instantly, you know, we just shut the other person off. And there's this judgment out there. And we don't know why that person has a yard sign of a different color or a different persuasion. We don't know why a person supports a potential candidate. And I think if we stop and be more curious and try to understand the other person, not just politically, but in our, I mean, you know this better than anybody. I mean, I'm sure you talk to people since Act 10 in this state. You know, there are golf foursomes that don't get together. There are people that have changed pews in churches or temples. There are people who no longer visit friends or relative for Thanksgiving dinner because of politics. And that's just sad to me.
Well, I think what's happened is, let me start on where I want to start here today, sure. which is the very simple statement. When people are like, when people occasionally, my clients and I will be talking and we'll be done coaching, we just kind of talk about life or the world or dating or whatever. And people are like, why do you think this is happening? I think it's happening because of one thing. And I'm hoping you and everybody can give me, you know, the benefit of the doubt to explain what I mean. But I don't think in general, as individuals, we like ourselves very much.
Interesting.
Now, what do I mean that? Number one, we were taught to build self-esteem rather than self-worth. That is one of the things that I've learned about in the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's pretty new psychology. Mm-hmm. It's pretty new research. But I think that, you know, you and I and even Aaron, who's younger, quite a bit younger than us.
Yes.
You know, we were taught to, you know, your job is to get good grades, to be a good citizen, to, you know, we're supposed to look a certain way. We're supposed to act a certain way. We're supposed to get certain education or skills or accomplishments. But that's self-esteem. And self-esteem is kind of, you know, what we think and feel about and believe about ourselves and what we've accomplished or done. But self-worth is actually the belief that we are greater than those things and that we, a deep knowing that I am of value, that I am lovable, and I am necessary to this life and this planet.
Wow.
And those are two very different things. And the problem with building self-esteem is if you hold your worth, if you hold who you are in the job that you do. Let's say that everybody's like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. You're so good at your job. And something happens and you lose that job.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens about how you feel about yourself?
Like crap.
It's gone,
yeah.
Right? Like that's not something we can build on. Like if we're only thinking that we are an okay person because of, you know, what we've accomplished or how we look or what our job is, or how we compare to others. I mean, that's a problem if we only like ourselves because we're comparing ourselves to others all the yeah. time. Like, well, if I walk in the room, I'm smarter than that person or prettier than that person or more fit than this person. If that's our only way to feel good, man, we have a problem.
And it's a good thing there's not social media in the world where every day we're comparing ourselves to other people.
Oh, that's on this list, by the way. We're getting there. Okay. But that this is one of the things that I have truly, truly learned is we have kind of spent our lives building these things that look good to others, mm-hmm. but not building a belief inside ourselves that we are good and worthy of love and belonging.
Yeah.
And if we truly don't, I mean, I feel like I can walk up to the average person on the street and say, tell me a couple of good things about yourself. And they might be like, I'm a good daughter or son, or I'm a good, you know, partner, or
I'm a good
you know,
cook.
Right. I'm a good cook, or I'm really good at my job when I go to work and do this every day. Those are great things. But what happens if your life changes?
Right.
What happens when sometimes the inevitable, we lose our job or we lose our partner, or, you know, then we come crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we feel about ourselves comes crashing down. So, you know, the number one thing is that I really feel deep down the self-worth piece that people just don't like themselves very much. They may on the outside look accomplished, look like they're happy, but inside they're mean to themselves. They put themselves down every time that they make a mistake. They are scared to try new things and they're scared of failure, which is part of the life experience.
Kira Sabin from relationship-quotient.com. On the other side, we'll talk more about struggling, how the country's struggling from a non-political viewpoint, and how we like ourselves better, and much more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. It is now 33 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome back in. Mr. Zomer's on the board. Kira Sabin, founder and head person at relationship-quotient.com. She is a life coach. She is a troop leader of love and all-around great person. Comes on our show about every other week. We appreciate it. You can find more of her help at relationship-quotient.com. Has clients where she will be your life coach. She also has these great retreats that will help you in your relationships for love, but also just in your dealing with people. Talking this segment about why the country is struggling. We talk a lot about on this show issues, subjects that can divide us. And we're trying to do it somewhat from a non-political point of view. First of all, I want to clean up. I mentioned this Ted Lasso quote or a quote from Ted Lasso. Which is be curious, not judgmental. And Kira so rightly said, you know, that actually is from Walt Whitman, not actually Ted Lasso. I appreciate that, Kira. So, yes, want to clean that up. Also want a text from Mark in the Sack from listening to us on WMDX. Mark in the Sack says, quote, never forget, and I'm just going to say it, Scott Walker announced to Diane Hendricks, who is a big fundraiser for him, and to the world that he wanted to divide and conquer. He wanted division. He wanted discord. He wanted us alienated from one another, unquote. Appreciate that context, Mark. And Kira, again, trying to keep us somewhat non-political, but let's speak to this for a second, that is, for all these things you just said, that one of the reasons we struggle is because we don't like ourselves. We were focusing too much on self-esteem instead of self-worth. But what about these leaders in our politics who literally are trying to divide us? What is that all about?
Well, I was just saying that that is like, first of all, like cult leader 101 or narcissist 101. In psychology, if you want to control, if you want to manipulate somebody, you separate them from what they know. You separate them from their community. You separate them from other outside voices that might disagree. Right. Like that's what we do is if you want to control a situation or a person, you keep them separate, you isolate them, you fill them with honestly ways to not only you separate them, but you teach them to isolate themselves.
Right.
And right. So that they don't trust anyone.
And that's what we see more and more. And we try to be really careful on this show that we're not ever attacking people who vote a certain way. I mean, I don't go after the average voter that votes Republican. What ticks me off are the leaders of the Republican Party, of Trumpism, who do exactly what you're saying and kind of trying to call out from the herd of society and say, don't listen to anything that you don't agree with. Don't participate in anything else. Only listen to us. And you know, I'm an independent these days. I listen to different news sources. I don't just listen to one. And I think it's very unhealthy when we're only, you know, inside of a bubble. In my opinion, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think it starts to begin to, if you're doing that, just listening to one opinion, only being with one type of person, I think it just makes you mentally sad.
I think, you know, So I'm sidestepping here for a second I think is really something important that we should know about our brains. I'm really fascinated not only by psychology, but brain science and neuroscience. And one of the things about our brain is it likes to like complete the cycle. It wants to feel safe. So you will seek out information that confirms what you believe,
yeah.
right? You will look for things that confirm what you believe, and you will ignore, that's actually a cognitive bias called confirmation bias. You will ignore information that goes against what you believe because our brains want to confirm our beliefs all day, every day, because it feels safer in our brains and in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's not critical thinking. That's not, that's a survival mode space. That is not somebody who is thinking critically. They're not thriving. They're not, you know, opening themselves up to what's right for them or what's right kind of for a greater good. It is a very shut down, emotionally immature space to be in.
Well, I'm not going to go down this path again today, but yesterday we talked about, you know, we both grew up in a small town of 5,000 people, Richland Center. And I said, you know, having the experience of being with the Central American students at the 2-year campus at Richland and then going to Platteville and having what I grew up with challenged, it didn't make me a completely different person, but I grew as a person, not to be in the same space all the time, but to be challenged. And yes, can it be a little uncomfortable? Yes, but it made me a much better person in the long run.
And, you know, and you actually did that more than I did. I'll tell you, you know, one of the statements that I say about myself as now 50-year-old woman is I'm proud of the woman I've become because I've fought to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were not exposed to diversity. We were not exposed to anything different. You, Todd and I have known each other for so long. We actually grew up in the same church, not only the same
true.
High school, but
true.
The same, but the same church.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, like, I was not prepared for the real world in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, going to college and then more importantly, going and working on cruise ships or traveling as much as I've traveled, much of that was me learning how to open my mind, shut my mouth, and ask questions.
Right.
Like you said, be curious, not judgmental, because I had not had exposure. And when we don't have exposure, we think different is bad. But when I started to talk to people, when I started to ask them questions about who they were or where they came from or why they are the way they are, I was able to understand that, you know, the differences are not that big.
Right. That's very true. Talking with Kira Sabin from relationship-quotient.com. Subject, why, a broad subject this time, but why the country is struggling right now. And Kira talked, first of all, about why we don't like ourselves very much and that we focus too much on self-esteem versus self-worth. What about this lack of compassion, Kira, which leads to other things like depression, anxiety, addiction, loneliness, isolation, this lack of compassion?
So this lack of compassion, and I want to talk a little bit more, if it's okay with you,
yeah.
About something you touched on, which is, you know, it's not only just self-worth and self-esteem stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's also that every single day, now even more because of devices, we're inundated with messaging and ads that love to remind us that we aren't good enough as we are.
Yeah.
That there's something wrong with us. That's how you sell things, is by telling people there's something wrong with you. We're either too fat or too skinny or too old or too young or too much or too little. You have too much hair. You have too little hair. You know, like whatever
is
it is.
So funny and so good at the same time. You're so right. I guess I didn't stop it. Yeah, you're right.
Right? Like, I mean, women have too much hair. Men have too little hair. This, you know what I mean? Like it's constant.
Right?
It's constant. And as you get older, As you get, you know, over the age of 35, it gets worse because now you're aging out of people listening to you or liking you or being attracted to you or anything else. So all day we have messages about how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to feel, you know, and if we don't do those things, there's, you know, then there's something wrong with us that constantly needs to be fixed. And whether you want to like believe in capitalism or not or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you cannot ignore the fact that the weight loss industry is $175 billion industry.
Wow.
And expected to grow to $282 billion by 2028.
Wow.
You cannot
wow.
ignore that the global anti-aging market is valued at $63 billion and is projected to reach $106 billion by 2030.
Oh, if I see that ad one more time with the guy with the bags under his eyes that, you know, the cream you put on it or whatever, I'm just going to like, oh my gosh.
I mean, I like to say this kind of about particularly women, but I think it's all of us, which is if you want to kind of keep a person, a race, a gender, or whatever down, you just keep telling them what's wrong with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's, and I think it is now for everybody, but I think it's very specific to women that kind of whoever they are is never enough. Right. You're either too old, you're too young, you're too something, you're not enough. And then we have throw in a social media that shows us this highlight reel of people's lives and that we spend all day, whether it's conscious or unconscious, comparing ourselves. And yeah. One of my favorite quotes, which I do not know who said it right now, but you can Google it, is comparison is the thief of joy.
Wow.
If we spend our days, if we spend our days comparing ourselves to everyone around us, or now everyone in the world online, right? Like, there's no way we're ever going to feel good about ourselves and our lives.
Yeah. No, you're
and
right.
And I loved that. And I loved that there is kind of like a sociologist who talks about, you know, for centuries, we were really just small communities and tribes of about 100 to 150 people, right? So when you were in that tribe or community, you were probably the best of something or close to the best of something. You were the best baker, the best fire maker, right? The best, you know, the best clothing maker or whatever. And now we get to see the world, but we're never good. We never are the best of anything.
Yeah. Wow. They're really good. All right. So, so all these things that you're talking about, inevitably, because it makes us feel bad about ourselves, then are we more apt to be quicker to judge others and lash out? That somehow is our deep psychology saying, well, if you judge that person and make them feel like crap, you'll feel better? As sick as that sounds.
Here's the deal. That is broken psychology. It's a thing, but that's like, you know, we can call it either a trauma response or a fear response. But what that is once again, you know, and I think to me, the next step is that lack of self-compassion to ourselves, because one of the main parts about self-worth is self-compassion, but it leads to depression because we're constantly feeling like we're not enough. It leads to anxiety, which basically separates both of those separate. It leads to addiction. Mm-hmm. It leads to loneliness and leads to isolation.
Yeah.
So that lack of self-compassion is what it's really doing, is all of those things, depression, anxiety, addiction, loneliness, they're isolating us, all of them. It keeps us separate from community support and help. And that keeps the problem going. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the UK and Japan in the last 5 years have both created ministers of loneliness because there's so much suicide, there's so much addiction, there's so much depression and anxiety. And COVID has made it even worse. And I like people to know this because I pulled some quotes for us today. According to the U.S. Surgeon General, loneliness is an epidemic in the United States, and lacking connection can increase the risk of premature death to levels comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow. Yeah, we've talked to this show before about loneliness and about what is driving this and the dangers of it.
Yeah, and the thing is that as much as maybe we didn't like it, Todd, like if you think about us growing up in the small town that we grew up in, and whether it be the neighborhood or the church or the community or whatever it was, there were always people kind of watching out for me, right? Like
absolutely.
I know that, you know, Jeff Perry, who I think has been on the show before, a couple of people were my neighbors, and we would play, you know, hide and seek every night or kick the can or kickball and things like that. And it wasn't just my parents watching out, like all of the parents kind of watched out for us.
Right.
We had that kind of community, and we really don't as much anymore. We were really kind of watched by others, and that isolation has just made us feel very alone. But we also have something that I think is really important to mention, which is we have a very flawed version of communication right now in texting and technology.
Yeah.
So technology, what they've proven is it builds fake intimacy. So what that means is that you can start texting someone and you feel like you are getting to know them, but you actually don't. You actually don't know who they are. You don't know if what they're saying is true. And in fact, they might be, you know, an 80-year-old guy in, you know, in the Ukraine. You really don't know.
Yeah.
But technology builds us fake intimacy. So we say things that we shouldn't, we share things that we shouldn't, we open up to people we shouldn't. And people are also mean online in ways that they would never be in real life. Because when you're in real life and you say something mean to somebody, you have to look at them and see how their face and body responds to that. And that's an instant moment where then we react. But that doesn't happen online. So we're just being mean to each other and believing that everybody out there is terrible.
Why you gotta be so mean? Kira Sabin from relationship-quotient.com. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Be so mean.
A little Taylor Swift for you on a Thursday afternoon. Why gotta be so mean? Kira Sabin, never mean. Always direct, certainly. And our friend Matt Flynn will be in with Matt Flynn direct after the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. But Kira tells it the way it is. I love that about her from relationship-quotient.com. Talking about this hour, why our society is just, you know, so on edge all the time. We can't get along. And Kira, pick this up for us, if you would. We talked about a lack of self-compassion is one of the reasons. And we got about 7 minutes left here, so walk us through the rest of this, because this is fantastic.
And, well, we were just talking about how when we are isolating, how kind of technology builds fake intimacy, and also a lot of meanness, hence the Taylor Swift song, because we're not looking at people's responses or reactions. And when we don't see that we've hurt somebody, or that they start crying, or like their face starts to crumble, we don't learn that's not okay to say.
Right.
Right?
I think, I'm just gonna be super honest right now. So like, yes, I go online sometimes, and not always like in a hookup sense, but just like to talk or chat or whatever. And I think for me, it's like sometimes it's like, well, if it doesn't go well, all you have to do is swipe right or block and it's over. You know, you don't have to deal with any of the emotion to it. You just got to walk away from it. But it's completely unhealthy. I get that.
That's completely unhealthy. And that is what you're describing right there now, which is maybe our next one is well, a lack of feeling our emotions. And when we don't feel our emotions, we push them down, and then they like to come up in ways that aren't helpful.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Right. But when we're lonely, we then go online to look for our people. And a lot of times those people are also lonely. They're also hurting. They're also angry. Mm-hmm. They're also isolated. And that leads to spreading messages of hate, mm-hmm. of judgment, you know, of sexism, of all of the isms that I could be talking to.
Our friend Jeff Perry puts this on Facebook. Kira, this is fascinating. Thank you for getting me thinking about this stuff. And I have a lot of stuff to think about, believe me. So a very nice comment from Jeff.
Yay. And Jeff, who was, of course, my neighbor, who him and Todd, who we lost recently to, I feel like we could say on some level, a lack, you know, probably some isolation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the final thought I want to put out today is that lack of self-compassion and isolation also makes it hard to feel compassion for others besides like our families or friends or the people that we see every day. Mm-hmm. So because we feel like we're struggling on our own so much, it's hard to care about other people's struggles, right? Yeah. So why should I care about other countries when I'm all exhausted all the time and we don't have things here? Why should I give my money to things that don't affect me or have anything to do with me? Why should I give a crap about women's bodies and choices? Why should I care about the plight of the Black, the Indigenous, the Asian, the disabled, the poor? Because I'm tired. I feel like the world is mean to me or angry at me, and I don't have things either.
This is why you're so good. I mean this in all sincerity, because you've nailed it. I mean, you just nailed it. And what you just said, and then we have politicians that know this and understand it and willfully play on this to divide us for political gain.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sorry, Jan and Linda. That's our moms. I mean, absolutely. Because what do you want to do when you want to keep, like, when you want to keep people comfortable or not, you know, fighting back, is you basically make sure that they're miserable.
Because yes.
If you're miserable, how do you care about others? When you're miserable, how do you worry about, you know, people don't care that. I mean, why do we have to have, like, why do we have to have bake sales to pay off kids' lunches at school that they can't afford? That's not, that shouldn't be a real thing. Why do we have kids hungry in this country at all, for that matter, with so much wealth and so much food? I mean, there's so many things that seem, if we step back, go, why is this a thing? Why is this happening? And it's because we are all struggling so much and don't like ourselves that we've stopped caring about others.
That's the key, really, is to key, you know, care for ourselves, but also have compassion for others. And maybe that could heal some of our political divides. Not all of them. It's not going to solve all of the world's problems, but
I think it would. that's my utopia. I do believe that if you were going to say, what's the one thing to do? Go work on your self-worth. Go work on liking yourself. Go work on understanding your emotions and why you do what you do.
About 3 minutes left, Kira. Give us one or two or three things. How can we work on ourselves to make ourselves better and our relationship with others better?
Here's the cool thing about online. There is so much free stuff. I encourage people to look into self-compassion work. They actually, self-compassion work, 30 minutes a day can show up in a brain scan within 2 weeks.
Really? Wow.
Right? So if you work in, like, you know, it can be meditation, it can be gratitude, it can be all the little things that I talk about on here. I don't say it just because, hey, you should do that. I'm saying that because it literally changes your brain chemistry. We become happier. We become kinder. We change our personality just by learning how to talk to ourselves in a compassionate way, not a pitying way, you know, not nothing like that, but just saying, hey, what you're feeling right now is normal. It's okay. And we can get through this. So if you do a half an hour, and you don't even have to, even if you do 10 minutes of self-compassion work, which you can find online, on meditations, all these different things, you can, like I said, in 2 weeks, it'll show up in a brain scan. In 2 months, it will make major changes in your life.
Wow. So just small steps, right? That's all we need is small steps to make a little progress. All of us.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter our political persuasion. It doesn't matter. Just small steps to work on ourselves first. And if we all do that, you know, things will be better.
I mean, that's the only person we can control, period, is ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I really feel that when we start liking ourselves, we don't take other people and their stuff so seriously. We don't give our power away to people who don't deserve it. We don't stay in relationships that don't feel good. We don't take jobs where we're underappreciated. And then shift happens.
Right.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, if we're willing to work, I mean, I don't know how to change the world, Todd, but I do know how to help people change themselves and work on that. And I have to believe that somewhere deep down, that will create some small changes. That's why I do what I do every day. And it's not easy.
And you do a fantastic job at it. We appreciate it. People want to get in touch with you, relationship-quotient.com. And you can get in further contact with Kira. Also, what's your podcast?
Oh, yes. Reinventing Dating Daily. You can find it on all the platforms.
Fantastic. Kira Sabin, get her name right, relationship-quotient.com. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Also, shout out to all of our great callers today. Also, Mr. Zommers. Don't forget, Matt Flynn is next. Matt Flynn, director on the other side of the news. Do not go anywhere. Back to you live from Green Bay, Wisconsin tomorrow. Until then, keep banging on your drum.